The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers.
Activist Radio is on the air.
You have tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win.
You don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
Build the wall. Build the wall. That's what you hear from one of the candidates for president, right? Build the wall, they say. And there's a lot of emphasis, a lot of effort going to the possibility of building a wall if this particular candidate for president becomes president of the United States. You're listening to The Mark Harrington Show, your radio activist here on WRFD 880 AM every Saturday at 1:30 p.m. statewide in the state of Ohio, as well as you can listen to the program 24/7 on your mobile device or whatever you wish on Podbean and iTunes. And for those that are interested, 1:30 every or 1:30 somewhere in that area, we go live on Facebook, on my own Facebook page at Mark Harrington. So you can check us out there as well. So we're going to be talking this first segment about building the wall. Now, when I say that, you're thinking about a particular presidential candidate, aren't you? Well, in this case, it's actually not that particular candidate. It has to do with the number one abortion killer in America. That is Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood. And we found out this morning at the local Planned Parenthood on Main Street here in Columbus that their attempts to keep us off the sidewalk have failed. They tried to get the city council to pass a buffer, so-called bubble zone or buffer zone. And we beat that back. So that didn't work. Everything they've tried to keep us from sharing the gospel, sharing the truth about abortion, sharing the facts about killing unborn children to those entering this death camp on Main Street, this abortion center, has failed. So now, guess what? They're trying to build a wall. You know, it's ironic, isn't it, that although Planned Parenthood has absolutely nothing in common with the GOP nominee for president, they are strange bedfellows when it comes to building a wall. Donald Trump wants to build a wall and thinks it's a good idea to keep illegal immigrants out of America. Planned Parenthood, on the other hand, wants to build a wall to keep Christians and those concerned with the killing of unborn babies from witnessing effectively out front of abortion facilities. So they're building a wall. Our people who are out there today, our volunteers and staff at Created Equal, as we make our habit to be on a regular basis, a presence at the abortion centers, because we take seriously the scripture that reads, rescue those being led away to death. So we go to the death centers. We go to the death pits, the death camps of America, to try to save as many children as we can, as we're commanded by God to do. And because of that, Planned Parenthood has attempted several things. The last thing was the bubble zone. Well, that kind of failed, because we're on the street. We're not intimidated by that. And so now that we found out today that they have a company out there that's building a wall. And this will shield any individual, a woman or whoever, going into the Planned Parenthood facilities from supposedly coming in contact with us and others. And, you know, like I say, if you juxtapose the American abortion holocaust to the German Holocaust. The symbolism here with the wall. Remember, all the death camps were surrounded by walls, right? Big ones with razor wire. And they had guards, sharpshooters in the towers all around them to make sure that nobody could get out. And to kind of obscure or conceal to the neighbors, the community, what was going on in there. Well, similar now. No, you know, a lot of things haven't changed a whole lot. Planned Parenthood's doing the same thing. They're building a wall. Now, I don't think they're going to put sharpshooters up there now, but you never know. But they're trying to conceal what goes on inside this abortion mill, and they're trying to build a wall. In the next couple days, they're building this wall. So our people were out there, our activists, and we're witnessing to the people building the wall by asking them questions like, would you build a wall for a concentration camp? Of course, most wouldn't, I would hope. But these guys, like many, would say, well, I'm just doing my job and my building this wall. That doesn't mean I participate in abortion killing. That's generally what we hear from contractors. Okay. That's what we often hear. That, you know, if you were an SS officer, you know, you could kind of disclaim the involvement, or you built the crematorium. You could say, well, you know, I didn't have a direct involvement in the killing. I didn't cut the babies apart. I didn't dismember them personally. Therefore, I have no culpability. The truth is, that's a lie. The enablers of Planned Parenthood are the ones keeping them in business. These guys building this wall, this company, Trudeau Fence Company here in Columbus, Ohio, is complicit in the killing of babies, just like so many. And we always take an opportunity, like we did today, to contact this company. And I'm going to ask you to do that. Trudeau Fence Company, you can call them and let them know, hey, what are you building this wall for? I'm not going to be, I'm not interested, and I'm never going to call you to help us build a fence around my house or business because you participated in the American Holocaust by building a wall around this death camp on East Main Street. There's a lot of symbolism here to the death camps. And, you know, I want to just say a few things about the similarities here for a moment. The first is this. If you're a pastor of a local church, and frankly, I've met many, not all, but many, and I've recently had conversations with a few, this is what we hear from most pastors when it comes to abortion. They'll say, you know, Mark, you know, what you do is what you do, but that's not the way we do it. In other words, we think abortion's deplorable. We think abortion's wrong. We think abortion's murder. All the things we believe the same things as you do. However, we just wouldn't do it that way. In other words, they wouldn't go to a death camp and witness against it. They wouldn't protest. They wouldn't flyer a neighborhood with a abortion Holocaust a doctor living in that neighborhood. They wouldn't go to high schools, college. They wouldn't use abortion victim photography on overpasses. I mean, you name it. They just basically say they wouldn't do what we do. And what they'll say when I ask them, I say, well, how would you approach this Holocaust in America? And they would say this. We believe in sharing the gospel. We believe that the way to end abortion is by sharing the gospel. Now, let me deal with that in the short minutes we have here in the first segment, and that is this. First of all, I believe in evangelism. I'm a Christian. I'm an evangelical Christian. I believe in evangelism. I believe that we need to be witnessing. We need to be sharing the gospel out on the streets and with our neighbors and so forth. And I believe that revival, that mean, and I don't mean this in the sense that we think, but an actual cultural transformation of America can only take place through the witnessing and sharing of the gospel and the discipling of Christian believers. So I'm with them on that, you know? But keep in mind a couple of things. First of all, Jesus didn't just talk about sharing the gospel. He talked about making disciples of the nations, which to me includes the prohibition against the shedding of innocent blood, the sixth commandment. And the other thing is, Christians, those who are self-proclaimed Christians who have accepted Jesus Christ and believe in the gospel, account for about 25% of all the abortions committed in America. That's about 250,000 abortions that are happening in the church. So if sharing the gospel is the answer, then why are Christians killing their babies? It's because the gospel's been watered down to me. It doesn't include the discipling. And we don't want a bait and switch. So we say, oh, Jesus is about love and all this. And then we hide this other stuff that he's against, like the killing of unborn babies. And later on, we're going to tell them about the hard stuff, you know. And if we do this bait and switch, frankly, they're going to walk because they had a false gospel. They came to Christ under false pretenses. False pretenses. I believe in the power of God for salvation. I believe that the gospel is ultimately the end, brings the end to abortion. But I believe it's inadequate in this situation to deal with abortion in a comprehensive way. And let me explain. Let me just paint a scenario. Now, this is an analogy, and I understand it's not perfect. No analogy is. But if you lived in the Warsaw area, the city of Warsaw, during the Holocaust, where you knew there was an area called the ghetto, the Warsaw ghettos, where they put Jews, they rounded them up and put them in one section of the city, and they walled it off virtually. And this is where they put the Jews, right? And you knew that they were executing Jews inside the ghetto. And you knew that they were putting Jews into cattle cars and taking them off to Auschwitz or Birkenau or Dachau or any one of the abortion or any number of the death camps in the area. And you knew that was happening, and you were a Christian in Warsaw, in Germany, Poland, during the Holocaust in the 1940s. Let me ask you this. You saw Jews being taken away. Your neighbors. You knew it was happening. Do you think that sharing the gospel was the only way to deal with that problem? Would be witnessing directly to your Nazi friend who lives across the road, who lives in the community, or your SS, colleague, would that be sufficient? Would that be adequate? Or would you save Jews? Would you do everything you could possibly to save Jews from the ghetto, from the execution, from the death camps, from the gas chambers? Would you do that? You know, it took more than sharing the gospel to end the Holocaust. In fact, think about this. And I'm not advocating for war here, believe me. There are nonviolent, and we're all about nonviolence. But the Holocaust was ended because the American army liberated the death camps. It required something greater, something more urgent than the gospel alone. Now, can you imagine the American army, instead of dropping bombs to liberate Auschwitz, they just dropped gospel tracts? Or they relied on the American army just to go door to door and try to witness to neighbors to try to convince people that killing Jews was a bad idea? Do you understand? If you put it in that context, how it makes no sense that sharing the gospel alone is adequate. See, the difference is this. We have the urgent versus the important. The urgent thing is to save babies. The important thing is to continue to share the gospel regularly as an important part of our Christian faith. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Mark Harrington Show, your voice of resistance. Don't go away.
Troy Newman talks about why he supports Mark Harrington and Created Equal.
You know, to me, Mark Harrington is more than just a friend of 20 years. He's a colleague that blends kind of this rare expression of passion and intelligence. And it's locked in, and he's tuned into the young people, the people who don't know Christ, don't understand the pro-life message. You know, the other thing I love about Mark and Created Equal is they think strategically. They've got a long-term vision to turn the pro-life movement over to the next generation, to use the tactics of this day and age, to think ahead of what the next tactic is going to be, and use it for long-term impacts to ultimately win this battle. We're here to win because winning is how the killing stops. We're not here just to perpetuate a job, and Mark isn't here just to continue to have a job. I think Mark's a lot like me. We want to work ourselves out of a job, win this battle, and then go on to something else, like raise our families.
Hey,
will stand our ground, whether there's a wall or not. They can put up a wall around every abortion center in America. Just another way of resembling what happened in Nazi Germany when they walled in these death camps. I mean, the similarities are just unbelievable. Yet we have people, pastors and others, that believe that the answer only, solely, all by itself, is to share the gospel. And my belief is this, and again, I am an evangelist. I believe in evangelism. I share the gospel regularly. I believe that ultimately we have to transform the culture to end abortion for good. But if you believe that the babies, let me just say this. If God sees human life, whether you're a preborn or born person, the same, if we're all created in the image of God from conception to death, and we're all the same, there's no difference. There's equal. We're equal. We're created in his image. Then a preborn person is no different than a born person in his eyes. Therefore, if you were in Warsaw and you saw Jews going into the ghettos, you knew they were being executed, you knew they were being hauled off to death camps, what would you do? Would you share the gospel only with your SS neighbor? Probably not. You would hopefully do more. You would do everything you could to rescue. In other words, the situation required an altered attempt, an altered effort, more than just the normal thing. In other words, what does Christianity look like in a nation that kills its children? It should be a little bit different. Now, if we weren't murdering babies at the rate that we are, I could say, yeah, we could go about our normal business of evangelism, that, you know, neighbors and others just witnessing as we're able and building relationships with folks in our area and so forth to reach our communities. But if you see abortion as a Holocaust on the level of the death camps, then you would do things a little differently. And my point is this, I just don't think we do. I think what I call a soft bigotry, that Christians and pastors who treat abortion different than they would treat the Holocaust in Germany don't see the babies as the born, as they would see the born. Therefore, they respond differently. In other words, if let's just take, for example, East Main Street, Planned Parenthood, Bexley, Whitehall, Reynoldsburg, all surround that area. If you're a pastor in that area, and let's say you know that 20 born children are going to get shot in the head tomorrow at this facility, what would you do? Would you just witness to your neighbors? Would you try to build relationships with the community in order to get people saved and disciple them as believers? Or would you do something different? Would you do something a little more urgent? Would you go down and try to stop it from happening? And the answer is yes. And that's why I believe that we just don't see the born, the unborn, as equal to the born. And in some ways, it's a what I call a soft bigotry. We're not overt bigots. I mean, we're not totally discriminating, but we do treat them differently. And let me say this. If you knew that there was, if you were in Germany and you knew there was an SS officer that lived next door or one of those who was executing Jews, would you simply just witness to them and pass out tracts in the community to try to build relationships to bring people to your church? Or would you try to stop the guy? Right? Nonviolently trying to stop him. In other words, if there was an assassin living in your neighborhood, you would do something different. And that's the problem. It's business as usual in America. And so I challenge you, if you're a Christian or a pastor and you see it that way, if you see it the way I'm seeing it, it's time to do more than just preach the gospel and try to reach your community. It's time to try to stop what's going on, because we're all going to have to make an account of this before Jesus at the judgment. And folks, there is very little difference between the two, between Nazi Germany and America now. So let me move on. In the few minutes we have left, let me unpack a little bit of this vice presidential debate. Some of the things that Tim Kaine mentioned and talked about on the vice presidential debate the other day. Let me just first say, and I always have to do this, this is my obligatory IRS disclaimer, and that is that we are a non-political organization. We don't oppose or support candidates. Created Equal is a non-profit organization. We don't get involved in politics, and that is electioneering or campaigning. However, I can speak as private citizen Mark Harrington on behalf of myself here and mention a few things. Having said all that, now that that's out of the way, let me play a clip. This is Tim Kaine the other night at the vice presidential debate talking about abortion.
But we really feel like you should live fully and with enthusiasm the commands of your faith. But it is not the role of the public servant.
We'll stop right there. Why is it when abortion comes out, when it comes up, we can't relate it to our faith? But we can relate issues of welfare reform or Social Security or how we approach the military, civil rights. I mean, think about it. Martin Luther King was an evangelical Christian. He headed up a Christian organization, and he was a reverend. It's okay to bring religion in when you're talking about civil rights or you're talking about all these other things, Obamacare and all this other stuff. But when it comes to abortion, that's not the role of the governmental servant. We can't bring our religion into the public square. Listen, it's all about worldview, isn't it? Our worldview should animate every view we have on politics.
To mandate that for everybody else. So let's talk about abortion and choice. Let's talk about that. We support Roe versus Wade. We support the constitutional right of American women to consult their own conscience, their own supportive partner, their own minister, but then make their own decision about pregnancy. That's something we trust American women to do that.
Trust American women. Now, let me deal with that one. Of course, we in America, at least half the population, at least, does not see abortion as a moral evil, a moral wrong. And if abortion is just a preference choice, if it's not a moral issue, moral choice, and of course we should trust women. It's like saying, I trust women to choose the type of career they want or the husband that they might have or the school or college they might attend. I mean, those things are preferences, right? But if it's a moral wrong, if abortion really kills a preborn baby, then we shouldn't trust women. We shouldn't trust anyone with that. In fact, I would say this. When it comes to rape, do you trust men? I mean, think about it. We don't trust men when it comes to rape because we see rape as a moral wrong, a moral evil. And we all, mostly all of us, hopefully, condemn it. But we don't go around and say, oh, I trust men when it comes to rape. See, that's the problem. If we saw the babies as real babies killed, being dismembered, disemboweled, and decapitated, and we saw abortion as killing and murder, we wouldn't say we trust women. We'd say, no, it should be against the law. They shouldn't be able to do that. It's like saying, do you trust Nazi doctors or Nazis to make the right choice when it comes to Jews? Or do you trust the slaveholders to do what's right when it comes to treatment of their slaves? I mean, it makes no sense when you put it in that context.
And we don't think that women should be punished, as Donald Trump said they should, for making the decision to have an abortion.
All right, let me unpack this in final minutes, and this isn't going to give me enough time. But again, if abortion's murder, if killing babies is a moral wrong, then shouldn't there be criminal sanctions? Right? Now, of course, it would depend on the culpability of the person committing the crime. And, you know, the issue is this. It's going to take a long time, probably, for us to reverse Roe v. Wade and bring it back to the states and create a human life amendment. But there were never any prosecutions of women prior to 1973. Therefore, there will probably not be any after abortion was ever made illegal again. This is a red herring by the other side to try to pigeonhole people into believing that tomorrow we're going to start throwing women in jail. We'll talk about this more in the coming weeks. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America.
to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net, createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to the Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.